Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
We are recording remotely tonight, yes. Which we hate.
Because there's a thunderstorm.
Yeah, it's my fault. But neither of us have COVID this time, knock on wood. I just, our schedules are a little packed and there's a thunderstorm. So I'm sitting in my cloud apartment looking at the clouds and the lightning, and it's very cute.
It's not that bad. I thought it was going to be like ominous.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm speaking too soon, but we'll see. Mostly I was just like, please don't thunderstorm through this recording because I don't need to hear all that.
I know. I'm like, what happens if I lose power?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Dude, every time it rains like medium to heavy, my internet goes out.
No.
Come on, Spectrum.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Every time my internet goes out, like the two times a year it happens, I just feel like it's like the end of the road for me. I'm like, well, this is how it ends.
Yeah.
Because, of course, I don't know what to do. I don't know which one is the router and which one is the other thing. Like,
I just unplug them and replug them in.
Yeah, I just unplug everything and cry.
Yeah.
Fine.
I look out my window to see if the Spectrum truck is on my street. And then I'm like, oh, it's not me. It's you. Okay.
It's fine.
Yeah, whatever. It's not like we had anything else to do tonight. No. There's just like, I'm like looking at your background in the Zoom and I'm like, what's that?
Well, don't look too hard. No. It's fine. Sable and I just saw each other and just recorded last week's episode a day ago.
We caught up. We went to the DS and Durga store. I bought the DS and Durga tea because I'm such a fan, or such a simp, I should say.
I didn't know they had tea, but I saw the tease for the tea that week, which was an image of like it was like a close crop of milk swirling around in tea, and I thought it was coffee. So my clown ass thought there was going to be like a nice gourmand coffee scent from them, and no, it was fucking tea. not that I'm not happy about it.
You're like, oh, it's literally the thing in the photo. Okay.
Like, God,
they should do a coffee scent though.
They should, but they never will because they hate gourmands, quote unquote.
The pistachio one was like hella gourmand. So who knows?
Did I tell you this? Pistachio sort of smells like my favorite Killian Intoxicated.
I see what you mean.
Not dupe vibes, but very similar, warm.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't want to say the gourmand again,
it's
but
it's sort of
a coffee, patchouli, nutty, gourmand. Yeah, in a way that like I really like them both.
Yeah.
Bring it back. They really actually should bring pistachio back of all of their crazy studio juices. I feel like this was the one that really stuck in people's minds. And it's like an outlier, not only in their collection, but sort of in fragrance.
Other
pistachio scents, I don't want to hear about them. You know what the fuck I'm saying. Just like, it's just a cool scent that like people don't really do a lot of.
Weirdly, I can't think of any pistachio fragrances off the top of my head.
But even like hazelnut or almond, like things like that. Like, yeah, those are, we have those.
That's pretty common. Yeah.
Right. It's more common. I just think the whole thing was nice. I want it.
God, I really want pistachio ice cream now.
Oh, you say that? I don't know that you do. I have some right now. I have some vegan pistachio ice cream. And I don't know that I signed up for what I got.
Wait, the Van Leeuwen one?
So what does Gia Gunn say? Sometimes what you're... Never mind.
No, pistachio is one of my favorite ice cream flavors.
Bit into it. And I was like, did I get the right shit? All it is like salt.
Oh.
I get it.
Okay.
But like, so there's no pistachios in it. It are like nuts in it. It's just like pistachio flavored ice cream. Great. It's green. And like, I get the like salty sweet dichotomy.
I get it.
But honey, they went over on the salt.
Really?
I'm the whole time I'm eating it like I don't know. And ice cream doesn't last long in this household in which I live alone. And and that one's just hanging out.
Huh. I don't think I've ever had the vegan pistachio from Van Leeuwen, but I've had the regular dairy one, and it is delicious.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's just like so creamy and rich. They should make a perfume. What if Van Leeuwen made fragrance?
They made a Kraft macaroni and cheese ice cream. I'm sure perfume is. Yeah. But, you know, they probably won't make perfume. They'll make ice cream flavored perfume. Wait, they'll make perfume flavored ice cream.
Perfume flavored. You know what? I'm okay with either one.
That's fair.
TBH. I feel like we should be fragrance consultants. Just like product development consultants.
I am a fragrance consultant.
Oh, that's right.
I'm just sick of talking about my side gigs on the show, but yes. But
we should be paid for it.
Oh, I am paid for it.
Oh, okay, I'm not.
But we, I think what you mean to say, not to put words in your mouth, is just we should create our own fragrance.
Also that. Also
if we were to create a fragrance with a brand, who would it be?
I feel like the first foray is usually a collab.
Yeah.
Unless you have like the independent wealth to fund it, which I don't personally.
Which I don't either.
So we're doing the collab.
Yeah. Let's speak it into existence. I've manifested a lot of fuck shit lately. So let's get another one. Let's put another one on the roster.
Okay. So do you mean like fragrance brand or any brand? IKEA. No, I'm kidding.
I think it'd have to be well, if we're going to make a fragrance collab.
Yeah. But random ass brands have done fragrance collabs. Like fashion brands.
You're getting Galaxy brand with this. Okay. And I should have known that I was getting. No, but that's fine. Like you want an IKEA candle.
Yeah, a candle. That would make sense. But, oh man, I do feel like it would make sense for us to do a collab with DS and Durga. They're like, we don't do that. Don't even talk about it. We just like talk so much about them that it makes sense. But
I think though that we're like weird and obscure enough for them to actually be like, this would make sense.
Yeah. But I just don't think they do collabs in general.
I don't think they know I exist. I think they think that you host the show on your own.
No,
I'm fully convinced that they think this is like Sable's podcast with no ones. Yeah, and I say that with love. I say that not care.
Literally have the podcast. Now I'm just thinking, what unexpected, quirky scent brand?
You know,
Joya Studios. Duh.
Who?
Joya Studios. They're a Brooklyn-based design studio. They're small and niche, but they do all the A24 candles, and they do like these really interesting scent collabs with like they did one with Lucali, that really popular pizza joint.
Do you spell it?
Joya. They mostly do candles. They did the Air Company fragrance. Mm. They did they were the perfumer for that. They have their own core collection, but I feel like they mostly do collabs.
I fully follow them.
Yeah.
I fully follow them and had no idea. They did a Free People one.
Yeah. But they do really cool stuff that's like quirky. They actually DM'd me the other day because they're doing a candle, a really, really funny candle in collab with that film Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah.
And it will only make sense if you've seen the film. I just took myself to see it last night.
I want to see it so bad.
It's so good.
Ugh.
I'm not going to give it away what the candle is.
If you're going to get us sued.
We're not going to get us sued. They said they would send it to me. So I feel like I'm allowed to talk about it.
Let me bully them.
Okay. But anyway, if you saw the film, you will get it. Let's just put it that way.
Also, go see the film. Support
it's so
original.
Fucking good.
Support original narratives. Everything now is a fucking Marvel franchise. Go support an original screenplay. It's coming from someone who has not done so, but has tried. I was gonna go 2 weekends ago, and I bought the ticket.
Yeah.
I got up. I put my little shoes on, and then I looked outside, and it was like 70 degrees, and I was like, "I'm getting a beer."
Also, like movie tickets in Manhattan are not cheap.
I got a refund.
Oh, I didn't know they do that.
Mm-hmm. I don't got it like that. I'm not going to waste $25.
Oh, wow. Yeah. See, $25 for a movie ticket is like a lot.
Yeah, no. I got
the one. Yeah. The one in my neighborhood, the Williamsburg Cinema, is like still $14, which is really cheap. Yeah. And yesterday I was just like, I just like walked past the theater and I was like, well, I'm not doing anything tonight. Like, let me see what the showings are. And there was like one in like an hour and a half. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll do that. It was really good. I cried a lot. The makeup was really good too in that movie. Okay. I feel like I haven't read anything about that. It was extremely Euphoria vibes.
Wait, I think if we did a collab of any sort, I'm not saying this is the one, but I think we'd be really happy with the scent. And I think it would look really cool. I think if we teamed up with Otherland, it would be a really good situation. I know they're a little like, not us, but all around, but like, I'm just like staring at one or two.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like, I could see this working for us.
Yeah. I could see us also doing a Boy Smells collab.
Boy Smells for sure.
But again,
yeah.
I guess they do collabs, but we're also not Kacey Musgraves. So
you might not be. Yeah. I was listening to Starcross this morning.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, wow. More on that when it happens, yeah, which it will.
TBD. Hit us up, Scent Beauty.
Hit us up, Joya, who's about to sue you. Yeah.
Don't serve me papers because I won't accept them. It doesn't work unless I accept them, which I won't. Anytime somebody on the street is like, Sable, or like, are you Sable? I never say yes because I'm like, what are you going to serve me papers?
I love your like recent obsession with getting served and serving papers. This is like the third or fourth conversation we've had about it.
Like, I know. And I feel like it's been like sort of culturally in relevant because like the Olivia Wilde, Jason Sudeikis thing.
Yeah.
Where he allegedly served her papers while she was like on stage speaking on a panel and then denies, dude, who knows? But the fact that like, that is a context in which the messenger is like, yeah, that's how I'm going to do it. Like, what type of person do you have to be that the messenger? Like, you have to put yourself in the weirdest scenarios to just give this person a document and make sure that they accept it after saying, like, yes, this is me. Like, that's fucking insane.
I'm going to let you unpack this one a lot.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. We can pivot away from this. It has nothing to do with anything.
Sable.
Yes.
What do you smell like today?
I smell like an old timey fave, Lolita Lempicka, Mon Premier, because we were talking about it last week. And also I was talking to a beauty journalist today for a upcoming Financial Times piece about gourmands, and I don't know why I was just, you know, puttering about my apartment, and then I was like, oh yeah, Lolita Lempicka, a gourmand, and then just sprayed it all over myself. So that's how that came to be. But
what the fuck is the Financial Times doing wearing my fragrance?
I don't know. I think because the fragrance category has popped off in the past year, they're like, no, this is relevant. So everybody's writing about fragrance now.
I'm aware. And I know all those editors who would turn my shit down 3 years ago because no one reads about fragrance allegedly. I've got all your names and numbers, girls. And I'm coming back.
Thank you, TikTok.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But it just got me thinking more about the gourmands that I know and I love. Lolita Lempicka being one of them. Still need to hit up that publicist for the US distributor.
Same.
Yeah, it's like funny. I own that fragrance, but I very rarely wear it. Sometimes I just like to pick up the bottle and smell it.
You just like orbs.
I just love orbs. But
you really do.
Now, like sometimes when I smell it, I'm like, oh, I love that. But like, oh, that's like not the vibe I'm trying to be today. Mm-hmm. And then after wearing it, I'm like, actually, I always in my mind think it's like really strong and like very heady. But then when it dries down on me, it's like pretty light and like very unoffensively pleasant. I know a lot of people have like really polarized reactions to that scent because
do they?
Like, yeah, like a lot of people are always like, ugh, like that scent chokes me out, or people are addicted to it, like, you know, because that's the nature of gourmands is that they're meant to be like really decadent and indulgent. And this one is like so unapologetically feminine and like the too muchery of it all that it turns off some people, but I love it.
I love that.
Yeah.
We love a gourmand.
We love a gourmand in this house.
Why not?
Or maybe I wore the elixir flanker on a past episode because I was like, is it lazy to talk about a fragrance that I smell like before? But It's like fashion. Like, obviously, you're going to wear something twice.
Yeah. So. If it's what you're wearing, it's what you're wearing. Yeah. Who cares? Although I do the same thing. I try not to double up, but also like, whatever. You can talk about the same thing in more than one way.
Yeah. Also, it's if I did speak about it previously, it was definitely like over a year ago. So
yeah, it's fine. Whoops. So whatever.
Tynan, what do you smell like today?
So per our last conversation, I finally broke into the Maluma scents.
Ooh.
And because I was kind of sniffing my way around the atomizers and I was like, wait, like these might smell good. Actually, not that I, you know, thought that they wouldn't. I did kind of think they'd smell like balls, but I don't know. Like, what's a Maluma scent going to smell like? If you are not aware, Maluma is a recording artist who is very attractive, but he's a dude.
Yeah.
Like, what? I thought that he only had two scents that launched at the same time. And I think that's true, but now there are four. So I don't know if they did another launch with two more, but I've only broken into one. I want to wear my way through these because they have piqued my interest. I am wearing Amethyst. It's called Royalty by Maluma. They're all called Royalty by Maluma. And then the subtext is Amethyst. So, and they're all named after like precious stones. And I really like it. Like, it is.
Amethyst is a good one.
It's a really, you smelled this, right?
Yeah. I have them as well because, Chividon sent them all to us.
Yeah. This one is super nice. It's like an ambery floral. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a gourmand ambery floral. It's like a really honeyed amber. And at the top, there's pink orchid, tangerine, and clementine. The heart is jasmine, rose, and nocturnal orange blossom. And the base is amber, vanilla, and patchouli. So it's a lot of sweet and a lot of floral and some bright citrus. As I was wearing this, I was like, this is kind of familiar, but not too familiar. What is this? And about halfway through the day, I'm like, it's flower bomb.
Completely. Really?
And yeah. And that said, it's not like a one-to-one by any means. It's not even dupe vibes, but it is in the way that flower bomb is. One, polarizing, two, unique in that way. It is nearing that. But what's different about this is that to me, flower bomb is very much one thing that comes at you all together and sort of wears differently and sort of like peeks out at you throughout wear, but it is sort of one big bomb of floral and sweetness. This, the flowers are a little airier and they sort of tell their own story in a way that doesn't make it wear quite as heavy. It's a little airier, like I said, it's a little breezier, and there's just a little bit more happening all on its own that make up one bigger story. Mm-hmm. I really like it. I mean, I would definitely, each fragrance is $45. If I were to have spent $45 on this and not gotten it in PR, I'd be thrilled. And it wears really nicely all day. I mean, I not that I expected it again, not to, but, you know, we were fucking talking about that Byredo fragrance that you would disappear as soon as it hit my skin. And, you know, that's a very pricey scent. So
they remind me of like KKW beauty scents or KKW fragrance scents.
In that they're cheap, they have beautiful components and they're good. Same.
Sure. well, like I have the flower ones, the Jeff Lethem collab ones.
Yes. Yeah.
Lot of these kind of smelled similar to those. Like,
really?
Like the vibes were similar.
Okay. Okay. I love those scents. Mm-hmm. And
they're good. Yeah.
They're really good. Mm-hmm. They're good enough. Yeah. I'm going to wear my way through these this week. And yeah, I'm genuinely really excited to now.
Awesome.
And I know what your response is going to be, but I would just like to say out loud on the show that I co-host that I am interested to see what the rebrand of KKW fragrance looks like.
Oh, that's right. Because now she's just going to be KK fragrance.
Well, because of the Coty lawsuits and everything. She had to rebrand.
Oh, really?
Just like Kylie did, yeah.
I didn't even think about that. Wow.
Yeah, because when they launched Kylie and Kim's beauty lines, it was Seed Beauty who does like ColourPop and all that.
Right.
They were bought by Coty, and then there was all this like drama about formulas and shit. So there were some lawsuits afoot. I don't know what happened, but the rebrands are not happenstance. So I'm wondering, like, when she comes back, is it going to be all the same core, or is it just going to be like new all together? That would shock me if they didn't bring at least back the Crystal Gardenias and the bodies of it all, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to talk to her about
interesting.
It. I know you won't have her on the show, but I'm going to get an exclusive on it. So yeah. That's what I'm wearing today.
Maluma Amethyst. It was cute how he said that his father's signature scent was a big inspiration behind his development of these four scents.
I do like that.
Yeah.
What I don't like is that they're gendered, and I can't say that I'm surprised, but I
don't think they were supposed to be.
Well, they're very on the site. They have for kings and for queens, and I'm like, all right. Oh. But this one is for the one that I'm wearing right now is for women, which I guess it doesn't shock me because it's a flower bomb light, but also I don't know. I would love for this to just make its way into a man's hands and let him make up his own mind about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. We're still battling gender and fragrance.
Still. Always.
Who are we talking to today, Sable?
We have a very interesting guest for this episode. Andreas Keller. He's the owner and curator of Olfactory Arts Keller. It is a smell gallery in downtown New York City where the whole thing is exhibitions and performances based around scent and smell and odors, which obviously is right up our alley. I forgot how I learned about them. I feel like I was, I don't know, like maybe through like some tag portal or something, just like found them on Instagram. And I was like, what is this? This is so cool. Like, this is, on the one hand, I was like, I've never heard of this before, like a scent gallery. But then on the, like, as soon as I was like, of course there's going to be a scent gallery. Like, how could there not be?
Right. Right.
And if anything, I'm just like, how is there not more of this? Because, you know, we talk a lot about scent, how it's used in marketing and how it's used as like signature branding.
Right.
So why not an artistic expression for the sake of an art form? We're talking to Andreas Keller. He's going to tell us all about the gallery, how he created it, his background in scent. He has a background in neuroscience.
Yeah.
And philosophy, which we love. So I'm curious how that got him into scent.
Yeah, exactly. And I like that his background is that instead of fragrance based, because as we know, the mind and scent are very closely linked in many ways, not just memory. So I want to know like how that informed what he has now created, you know?
I guess we'll find out.
Let's do it. It's funny that you say that because like we often say like something you said about, you know, people expect one thing, you say, oh no, you can't sell this. Well, then what am I going to do with it? We often find ourselves running up against the critique of the show. Like people think we're a perfume podcast and we are very perfume centric, but we like to think of ourselves as like a scent podcast. You know what I mean? Because we try as best we can to talk about things just outside of fine fragrance and body and things like that. So I feel like we have like a similar mission statement there. And that's also why we're so excited to have you on the show today.
Yeah, I think that's great, but there just isn't much outside of perfumery, right? So if you're interested in smell and you go out there looking for experiences, perfume is really where it's at.
Right.
You can occasionally, you know, maybe you go to the botanical garden for the orchid show and smell the flowers or something like that. But there isn't really, you know, like it's such a tiny part of the universe of all possible smell. Because obviously a lot of the smells I exhibit in the gallery, I wouldn't want to wear them. I don't want to walk around smelling like that, but that doesn't mean they're not interesting and like, you know, give you something to think about and explore.
Right.
And for that, you know, like getting a venue for that. And there's many, many perfumers or creatives come up with something, a scent, but they know it's not gonna sell. You can't sell it as a perfume, and then there's no outlet for them to share it with anybody in any other way. It's just something they did, and that stands on the shelf. And so with the gallery, they can bring that out and share it with people and have others smell it and so on. So that definitely is the same kind of agenda we have there.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Wow.
So we usually start episodes with guests, having the guests introduce themselves and say what they do. So do you want to take that away?
So my name is Andreas Keller, and I started last year Olfactory Art Keller, an art gallery downtown that focuses entirely on scent-based art. So we do what I call experimental perfumery. We do multi-sensory objects, scented sculptures, scented painting, and we do immersive experiences where you'll just like walk in a smellscape. And so we are trying to combine, integrate, or fuse the fragrance, the creative people working with fragrance and the visual art world in the city, and make that a part of it.
Very cool.
I love that. We also tend to start the show off by asking our guests, Andreas, what do you smell like today?
Haven't showered in 2 days, so I probably don't smell all that good. I don't enjoy wearing scents anymore because I'm just overthinking it. I know too much about it. I always say, like, if you're a cameraman, you probably don't enjoy watching movies because all you think about is, you know, how was this done? How would I have done it differently?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So something similar happened to me that I rarely wear scents anymore.
That makes a lot of sense.
No pun intended.
Yeah, right. Do you think that if you were to wear scents daily, that it would have any sort of effect on the work that you do in the gallery because you are surrounded by original scents all day? And you would it like compete with each other? Or do you think you would just go nose blind to what you wear and really enjoy the things that you work with?
Yeah, I think that's a danger too, that when people come into the gallery and they're heavily perfumed, that competes with what they're supposed to experience there. So I used to do in my life as a smell scientist, when we had people come in and smell things for a research study, we always send out an email that you shouldn't wear perfume when you come in because of the danger of that interfering with what you're supposed to be doing there. And I think there's something to it, especially if you wear the same scent a lot, you kind of become desensitized to it and add more and more of it on, and that can lead into a bad direction for everybody around you.
Right.
You have a PhD in neuroscience and philosophy, and then you just mentioned smell science. Did neuroscience kind of bring you into smell science, or were you always interested in smell and olfactory stuff and you just kind of like honed in onto neuroscience to explore that?
Yeah, so I didn't become interested in smell until I already was doing research in neuroscience. And I guess the moment, so I was trained as a neuroscientist and geneticist. I studied fruit flies, so they are genetic model organism. You can do lots of things with them, genetically modify them, see how their behaviors change and so on. And then I think my moment where it went to a focus on smell is when they sequenced the human genome, because what they found out when they did that is that the odorant receptors for the receptors in our nose that bind to the smells are very, very variable between people. So all three of us have different odorant receptors with which we smell the world. So that's why we smell it slightly different. Like similar to color blindness, only everybody has a different version of the set of receptors with which to smell. And so then this became a important model system for differences between humans. And I did a lot of studies where I just put an ad on Craigslist, had people come in, they would smell 100 different smells, say how strong it is to them. And I sequenced their odorant receptors and I found out why some people are very sensitive to some smells and not sensitive to other smells and other combinations of that.
Whoa.
So that really kind of accidentally, because it was a good research opportunity, put my focus on smell, and that was 15, 20 years ago. And then I got really fascinated by everything smell, and then fell deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole of smells.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Wow.
So when you say that we all have different receptors and with which we smell, Sable and I often say that things pull really sweet on me and really like tangy on her, and like the darker, deeper notes come out on her skin and the sweeter come out on mine. Do you think that's accurate, or do you think it might have something to do with like the way that we're smelling the same thing as well?
Yeah, it could be either, right? So there isn't like the genetic differences rarely obvious, because most smells are mixtures. So some cases where scientists like myself have studied that is the urine after eating asparagus. So that produces a special molecule that has a mm-hmm. very characteristic smell.
Mm-hmm.
And people had known for a long time. Some people say, like, I don't smell that. I don't know what you're talking about. And they thought they don't produce it. But then some genius researcher had the idea of making people smell each other's urine. And so then they found out everybody's producing that molecule, but some people don't have the receptor to smell it. So they can't perceive that smell. Cilantro is another case.
Yeah.
Like there's big differences in how people perceive cilantro, and they found the genetic basis for that. So there are some cases out there, but most preferences, I would say, are probably due to prior experiences and context and contextualizing.
Sure.
But once you know it, like I know some smells like benzaldehyde, which smells like bitter almond. I'm just very sensitive to that. So whenever that is in a perfume or in a product, well, you put too much of it in there. But the reality is, you know, for most people, probably not. It's just I am very sensitive to that. So to me, that overwhelm.
Got it.
That's what makes it so interesting, too, because you're like, really, when you create a scent, you create it for yourself. Because mm-hmm. for everybody else, it's going to be something different, and they're going to take it in a different direction. So it is freeing to give up the idea that everybody would perceive it the same way. In the gallery, there's always like 5% of people who come in and like, this is too strong.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me a headache. I have to leave. And there's 5% of people that are like, I can't smell anything. It's just some kind of rank or something. So you always lose those extremes in perception, and you can't ever make a scent that pleases everyone.
Wow.
Sure.
I'm curious was there something specific in your research that kind of led you down the more artistic path with scent?
I had a good fellowship that allowed me to engage with people outside of the sciences and gave me a lot of freedom. So whenever somebody approached me from a museum or an artist who wanted to use scent, wanted my help or advice, I was like, sure, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got more and more experience with that. And then I wrote a chapter for a book at some point that was about how to use smell in a museum exhibition. So museums are worried about the internet and virtual reality providing similar experiences than going to a museum and then becoming irrelevant. And one mm-hmm. response to that is to include touch and smell and taste and those things that can't be digitized.
Sure.
Exhibits. And so that was very, very popular and kind of like pulled me into the scene, the art scene of people who are interested in using scent for that. And I realized they don't have a place to exhibit what they're doing. And so that got me on that journey.
That's so cool. Wow.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Back to like brain function, which I know nothing about. A lot of us know that scent is very tied to memory, and that scents can trigger memories that we thought were, or we didn't even know were long gone. But aside from that, how significant is scent's effect on our neurological brain function?
Yeah, it's interesting because it almost looks like a division of labor between smell and vision. So all the things that vision is good at naming things, it's very difficult to name smell.
Mm.
Analyzing and thinking about it, like those cognitive things that we do well when we see something with smell, we're really bad at it. We're really bad at naming it, really bad at, you know, talking about it. I'm desperately trying to get people to write reviews for the exhibits in the gallery, but it's just very, very difficult to write about smell without
it is, yeah.
It just being a list, right? You're like, oh, mm-hmm. I went there and there was a smell that smelled like strawberry. That's not interesting, right? Yeah. But it's very difficult to write something analytic about smell. And then smell, sure. on the other hand, is very good with emotions, and it's very good with memory. And it's very good with having a direct access. So what we see always gets filtered, right? So you can watch a horror movie with horrible things happening, but you know it's just a movie and these are actors or computer-generated images, so it doesn't affect you. The smell, like if you the smell of rotten corpses, you're going to throw up because even if you know it's an artificial scent, right? But we don't have that filter that tells us, you know, puts into context what we perceive. Yeah. It's very direct, goes directly to parts of the brain that lead to bodily and emotional responses to it without all the processing and thinking about it and putting it in context.
Hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's difficult for people to write about scent because we have such a limited vocabulary about it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
People are so used to writing about things in like a critical lens, but scent is so emotional. So it's like people don't understand, like it's almost like it's difficult to think about marrying the emotional world to like in a critical context. It feels like it doesn't make sense to most people.
I wouldn't say it doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem possible. Like nobody. Yeah. Figured out how to do that.
It feels very unnatural.
Exactly. It feels unnatural. And, you know, I don't know if it is possible. It's clearly there's also some skill involved. Like some people just have a very good skill of smelling something and then talking about that in a way that seems not trivial, but interesting. But it's just very, very difficult if you look at perfume reviews or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's either like list of the notes that are in there, which isn't, I mean, it's interesting if you think about buying a perfume, but if you would write an art review about a painting and be like, in the upper left it's red and then there's some yellow and the right is some green, right? That's just right. Like, hey, that's not what you expect from an art review. And then the other extreme is way out that it's just like, oh, you know, it puts me in the mood of like being on the beach and like, you know, doing this and that, and it's at night and my friends are there. So it's so like just like describing what kind of association you have with it, but that's very personal and somebody else may come to it and be like, I don't see any of those things that this other person, you know, got triggered by this scent.
Yeah, it's right. So personal.
Yeah.
That's interesting then that you started a gallery. I'm curious, did you always have, or did you come up with the idea for the gallery before you found artists whose work you could show, or was it the other way around?
Yeah, I have people in mind that I would want to show, but now a little over a year in, most of the people whose work I'm showing are people who I hadn't known when I started the gallery. Oh, cool. But it really was, you know, just like seeing, like talking and working with a few artists and seeing what a difficult time they have to bring their work into any kind of institution. Like museums are very worried if you really smell in a museum. So the last exhibit I had was authentic paintings by Luisa Gottschalk, a Brazilian painter, and you touch the paintings to release the smell. So no museum would ever have that, because then people end up touching all the paintings, right? And it would be chaos.
Yeah.
Bring the scent from this painting to that painting. You know, they want very tight control over anything. And even if you just like pump smell into a space, they're worried about, will it damage any of the other works? How long will it linger around? It's a very, because they're, you know, like, obviously if you go to cool for museum studies or something like that, you don't learn anything about smell, right? So you have no, when you're encountering that, you have no idea how to accept the risk and how to manage a scent. And so it's been very difficult for many artists trying to bring smells into other spaces. And so I knew that from the artist side, there's a big need for a space like this. So just makes sense to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
I think of it almost like experimental performance art, because like there's no rules for olfactive art the way there is for like visual art. So like if people don't know how to judge something or evaluate it, they're like, I don't know how to display this in a huge museum. But when you do it in a cool downtown gallery setting, it's a very like, I don't know, experimental context. That seems really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I'm trying to lean into that, you know, like things may go wrong. There's a dumpling stand right next to the gallery. Every day at 5, they do something like close it down, and then the dumpling smell comes over. the gallery smells for half an hour, like whatever smell is there plus the dumplings. But I'm trying to, you know, endorse that and, you know, have some randomness and risk in it, and don't try to wrestle sense into submission and perfectly control them. I have artists who are like, I need like a perfect humidity control and airflow control. Yeah. Only then will this work. And then I'm like, well, that's not what I'm able to provide. Yeah. Right? This is like, it just do your best and then you see whatever experience comes out of it.
Yeah.
And I have, it's also interesting because many of the things I've done are kind of scent object, but scent really is, as you said, probably more naturally associated with the performance than it is fleeting. Just a moment of saying, so we started also a scent performance series where we do more of those things that are just existing for the moment, and then we'll be done.
Cool. Wow. I was wondering that because I was reading up on the scented paintings exhibit where people would like touch it and then smell their hands. And other than a physical visual object, like how many ways can scent be used as like an artistic medium? Like what types of exhibits have you been able to do, or performances?
Yeah. So the performance we just had was Doreen Oi. And she did a performance where people got blindfolded outside the gallery and then let in and sat down on a chair. And then they would sit there in the dark, and music that Doreen composed played from a tape. And she walked around and had scents that she would waft, fan, like get into people's faces in synchrony with the soundtrack that happened. So it was like the visual was cut out, and then it was kind of a narrative of sound and scent that people could experience in there. So that is a possible use of scent as a performance medium. Yes, you know, we are planning a movie with a scent track. So you have the mouth that go along with the movie. There's a history of that. Back in the 50s or 60s, movie theaters tried to, after, you know, having sound and color in movies was such a success, they thought about adding bent and it didn't work out as a
right smell-o-vision.
Smell-o-vision,
yeah. Exactly. But it is an interesting experimental way of doing things, of adding that to a visual display, a movie in that case. And then in terms of exhibits, scented paintings, scented sculptures, wax sculptures, where the scent was in the wax. We had one immersive experience where the gallery was empty and artists made two smells, one called young banana and the other old banana. And so the front of the gallery was young banana and the back was old banana, and people could just walk around, kind of like walk down the maturation of a banana. And it was dark too, so it was a dark gallery and they were immersed in the banana smell. And then we had that was a fun way to doing things. And then we had a couple of things that what I call experimental perfumery, where you have a bottle and there's an interesting scent there and you like dip it or you smell the bottle, but there's nothing beyond the scent. Then there's the whole object that you have.
Wow.
Well, you brought up a little bit about how people have tried to work smell into art before with the movies in the 50s and 60s. I mean, has this idea of marrying scent with, you know, visuals or art of any sort always been around? And are we just hearing a little bit more about it now because you've created a space for it to live? Or is, you know, your venue sort of motivating people to bring more scent into what they're already doing?
I think it has always been around, but there never has been a movement or like a group of people doing it, or, you know, like a framework to it. It was always individuals that got interested in that and then on their own started experimenting with that. But there was never a community of people doing that. And so that's what I'm hoping to create with the gallery. And it is interesting that there's lots of people who, you know, are very interested in scent and have been working with that, but they didn't know of each other. And then through the gallery, in my ideal moments, they meet and then, you know, collaborate or, you know, exchange materials or ideas and so on. So it's really about building the community. There's a lot of people doing it and interested in it, but it hasn't come together in a way that would be, you know, loud enough to get people's attention.
Right, right. Wow.
Yeah, I was wondering how you go about finding artists for exhibitions. Like, do most of them come to you at this point?
Yeah, most of them come to me at this point. Yeah, it's two different groups. One are people who come from perfumery, but feel a little constrained by what they can do within perfumery and would like to do more exploratory things. And then there's visual artists or conceptual artists who become interested in scent and want to add scent to what they're doing. And both of those groups are plenty of people who are interested. So I have currently an open call. So I just, you know, like let people submit. So it's about scent portraits. So you can portrait anybody, yourself, fictional character, historical figure, friends and family, and make a portrait of them in scent and then, you know, submit it and, once I find most interesting, I will then exhibit in that exhibition. And for those open calls, I get, you know, 30 or 40 submissions, and they're usually all of pretty good quality. So
cool. Yeah. So what kind of people are submitting? Like, are they perfumers, or do they work in scent, or, you know?
Yeah, it is half and half, I would say, between people with a perfumer background and people with an artistic background that just add smell to what they're doing. And you totally can tell from smelling it who's who. The perfumers, everything a perfumer, if you're trained as a perfumer, everything you do is kind of a perfume.
Yeah.
You tell them, you know, like make make the smell of horse manure. It smells like a perfume that smells like horse.
It's like one level.
Whereas right. artists who don't have that training, they sometimes just do things where they, you know, like find objects that somebody owned and try to distill them, get the sense out of that, and then that their work, right? So that would never be mistaken as a perfume by anybody who smells it, because it has a more conceptual approach to it. And yeah, for perfumers, mostly I had one show where I worked with IFF, International Fragrance.
Oh, cool.
Fragrance. And so they asked their perfumers if they're interested in creating what's called Perfumers Gone Wild. Because the perfumers were allowed to do whatever they want. And so they had some of their perfumer produce a scent for that exhibit. But in general, it's easier to work with independent perfumers.
Mm. Yeah.
They don't have to go through the permission process from the to sell something in the gallery.
Yeah.
And so those local independent perfumers like Christophe Lavignel and so on, they are big supporters and people I have exhibited gallery.
Oh, cool. Nice. I interviewed him for a piece about a fragrance he created a while ago recently. He's cool. He's a character.
he definitely is a character.
Yeah.
I do like him. He's very, very supportive of the whole idea.
Yeah. So. He seemed to have a very rebellious approach to perfumery. So I could see that.
Yeah, I think that is right. He believes that the problem with why perfumery or why scent creation doesn't catch on with art, the art world, is because a metal or stone sculpture lasts forever. You can pass it on to your children, but a scent won't last forever.
Mm.
And so, and he had a piece in one of the exhibits I had. If you would buy it, you would get a lifetime guarantee of always exclusively getting the refill of the scent, so you would never run out of it.
Wow.
And then it become similar to something that's more longer living.
Yeah. Did you ever think about training to become a perfumer?
I did not. I did a course with the Institute for Art and Olfaction in LA. They had, when the pandemic started, they had online courses, and then it was more doable for me to participate in that. And, you know, I do have the collection of maybe like 200 sets or something at home, and sometimes I mix them together out of curiosity of what happened. But really, it never leads to anything, because I always just want to, like, I wonder what happens if I put this in, I wonder what happens if I put that in, and it never goes towards an end point, but it's just like bouncing around in odor space from one quality to the next.
Yeah, it's like you can never be finished.
You're never finished with it, exactly. And I don't have a clear goal of what I would want to be doing.
You mentioned just before this about how scent is like such an ethereal quality that's not meant to last long. And then it made me think immediately, of course, of like NFTs and how there's this like untouchable quality to owning them. Like, do you think that like scent as art and NFTs would ever end up kind of teaming up in a way?
There are some similarities there, and also some ways it's the exact opposite of each other. So I think there's some interesting space to explore, and especially since it's very difficult, it's impossible, one could say, to patent or trademark your scent you mix together. Those lawsuits don't hold up well, which is why the whole perfumery is all based on secrecy and, you know, like secret recipes. Because if you figure it out, you can copy it without being sueable. And so some people hope that NFTs will kind of be a copyright for scent. So you have like the NFT of your mixture that you have, that, you know, shows that you're the owner or inventor of it. Mm-hmm. And then maybe people are more willing to share and let mm-hmm. other people play around with that when there's a system in place that would assign ownership to those recipes, for a sense. So I think NFTs would have a useful niche market in perfumery. And for the art, I've been talking to two of my artists who are interested in doing NFTs. We couldn't agree on how to do that, right? It is a complicated way.
Yeah.
Definitely an interesting development.
Yeah, very.
I mean, it's just like in the end, it's more or less a contract, right? And other art that I look at, like, you know, performance art, is difficult to sell to.
And yeah.
Sometimes a museum will buy a performance and it's going to be a contract that says what they are allowed to be doing and how they're going to execute it and if it's exclusive to them or not. And it feels like NFTs could be a, you know, readily available way of doing those kind of things without involving lots of lawyers and complicated contracts. But
yeah.
What's your opinion on NFT art? Is it going to make it or not?
I think it's a scam, personally.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Well, yeah. I also read this Atlantic article where they interviewed one of the co-creators of NFTs, and he was saying how they were released into the world before they figured out like a solid system for distribution. So when you buy an NFT, you're basically buying like a JPEG that exists on a host, but whoever owns the host website technically owns that file. So it's just a file. And if the host deletes the website, you lose your art. So it's like not a very stable system at all. And in the fact that they sell for so much money, it feels very, I feel like it's kind of like a newfangled way of laundering money through art. That's kind of what it feels like.
That means it will be successful.
Exactly.
In the art world.
Yeah.
If it helps.
That's true.
Money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm old, right? I remember when I first heard about Twitter and I was like, this is the stupidest shit I ever heard. Like, who would want to like tell people what they're doing right now every moment? And who would want to read that? Like,
it's
a kind of joke. And then, you know, like a couple of years later, Twitter was a household name and a widely used app. And I'm still not getting what it's good for, right? So it does seem odd to me, but I don't think that necessarily means it won't be around.
I agree. Right. Yeah.
Find its niche, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You talked about, you know, museums and galleries and types of art that aren't always visual or in the type of art that, you know, you would think that would be in the gallery, like hanging on a wall. You talked about performance pieces and things like that. So when you are doing a gallery around smells, does that create like a challenge or an opportunity in the type of venue that you can have? And I guess, I mean, do you find the pressure to make it look and feel like a normal gallery? Or since the medium is olfactory, does that open up, you know, again, an opportunity for you to broaden the scope and make it look and feel completely different when the visuals aren't the point?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I did think about that when starting it and exactly the two options that, you know, you pointed out. One, this is the first project I'm aware of its type, so I can just make up the rule and do it however I want to do it, or follow the model of the commercial New York downtown art gallery, with the only difference that instead of paintings on the wall, it's little bottles of smell. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to go for the second one because I do want it to become a legitimate part of the art world. Mm. I do want the same art critic. I'm happy when a perfume critic writes about the show, But what I really want is an art critic who writes about visual art to take this on, or performance art to take this on and write about it and make it part, as it happened with video and with photography in previous times, make something that is thought of not as fine art become part of fine art. And I thought the best way of doing it is to mimic the gallery so that all the people in the art world are familiar with what's going on there, with what it is. The only unfamiliar thing is that they're not asked to look at paintings, but to smell.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I'm curious what types of people visit your gallery. Do you think it's like the same type of people who are eager to check out every new exhibit at the Met or the MoMA? Or are they just all across the board, different types?
It is, because it is in a gallery neighborhood, so there's several other galleries around it, some of them bigger and attracting lots of people. So I get overflow from those people who visit those galleries or are gallery hopping in the neighborhood. And so they sometimes don't know that this is a center art gallery. They just, see it's a gallery and come in and wonder what's going on. And that's about half of it. And the other half of it are people who, specifically come because they heard about Cent Art Gallery and are interested in them. And many of those are then people from the fragrance world, fragrance lovers who come down for it.
Yeah,
it's interesting. So when people come in, I try to figure out where they're coming from and then have a different pitch depending on if I have to gently familiarize them with how smelling work, or if I don't have to do that.
Right.
Accommodate that.
What separates or what makes a scent art piece? Like, what separates something that you would exhibit from a fine fragrance or home fragrance? Or is there any separation at all in terms of scent? And is it all about the pitch and presentation?
Yeah, so there probably is some overlap. So it's not a clear line between what would be an art piece and what would be a fume. I think some of the criteria are to have a smell that is not usually found in perfumes. So it's a pretty small part of all the smells that exist in the world that would be expected in perfume. So you can be outside of that. You have to produce it in a edition of one or limited edition. If it's, infinitely reproducible, then it doesn't count. So that's kind of how it works with photography, right? So fine art photography has to have a limited edition of prints. Otherwise, it becomes an NFT, right?
Everybody that's fair.
Print it out at home, and then it won't be sold in galleries. So that scarcity, which in the case of perfume is artificial, just like with photographs or prints, the topic being unusual and the intention of it not being used to perfume something, I think those two things. But again, there's no clear line, and I don't think there should be a clear line either.
Right. Yeah. Right. That makes sense, though. That does make sense.
Sure. Do you think, aside from the gallery's mission statement of education and discovery, and I know you said you want to kind of move more into the art world, but because it has to do with scent, do you think that the gallery could expand the world of fragrance in a consumable or commercial way? Do you think it could have an effect on even how the fragrance world interprets what's a wearable scent or a buyable scent?
I think it could contribute to that, but I also feel that has been underway for the last 10 years or so, that, there's several perfumes that are being sold where I would assume people don't buy it to wear it regularly, but buy it to smell it and to have their friend smell it and maybe on a special occasion wear it or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I feel that the perfume world itself has already done in the last 10 years, really only a great, great job of expanding what is possible with the independent perfumers, right? When you don't need huge numbers to be sold of your perfume, you can become more experimental.
Yeah.
And people appreciate that.
Yeah, that makes me think of Etat Libre d'Orange, that brand.
Mm.
They do a lot of like really quirky experimental fragrances.
Totally.
Yeah, but if you did, I feel like Olfactory Art Keller would have a really killer museum gift shop if you got into fragrance.
Yeah, I've been thinking about about that, right? The commercial art galleries I'm trying to sell the artwork. Probably easier to sell something wearable,
or right, I know
in some cases that would be, so
yeah.
The gift shop is an idea I definitely have been toying with too.
I love that. So it's located in Chinatown Lower East Side border.
So it's two bridges between the Brooklyn and Manhattan Bridge in Manhattan on 25 Henry Street. And it's a street that has mainly Chinese food wholesale businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
little trucks come up and stuff is loaded onto them from there.
Yeah. And you're open Thursday through Sunday, is that correct?
Thursday through Saturday.
Through Saturday.
Until 6 p.m.
Okay. And do you have to make an appointment to go, or can anyone just show up?
No. And if you can't make that, I can make an appointment at other times too.
Cool.
Amazing. Sybil, we got to go.
Yeah. So fruit flies. Interesting to me. Those little fuckers are persistent.
Nothing gets me angrier than a fruit fly.
I hate them.
Rage. I'm talking rage.
And they're
rage.
So slow and they're so hard to kill. And they're never gone. Once you kill one, there's more behind.
Haunting me.
Yeah.
I'm happy I live. Like, I thought that living so high up now, like, I would never see another bug. And bitch, I was wrong.
They found you.
Honestly.
I do think it's really interesting, though, how he said that everybody has different receptors.
Yeah.
That was cool. It confirmed things I suspected. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
But also same. But I'm still, like, my question still stands. And I guess, like, no one can ever actually give me an answer because they don't know what it's like to be inside my body and then your body. But, like, how do we know if things smell differently to us because of how our body interacts with them or how they interact with their, like, receptors, you know?
We don't. Nobody knows.
That's not a good enough answer. I want to know.
Unless you can transplant your consciousness into someone else's body.
Yeah.
Yeah. We still have yet to figure out how to trigger scent because it's you need a chemical stimulus. Like, you can't do it electronically or anything like that, which is crazy to me in our age of technology.
Honestly.
Yeah. But I also think it's just because scent is still kind of understudied.
Right. I still go back to our episode about... What is it when people become anosmic because of like physical like blunt force trauma and they fuck up their nasal receptors? I had no idea that the receptors themselves were so like delicate, you know?
Yeah.
Now I'm going down like a doom spiral, but
it is kind of nuts, but I guess smell, it's like one of those things where it's like a fleeting thing in life that you just have to enjoy while you have it. So on the one hand, I'm like, it's almost good that we haven't conquered that yet. Because, I don't know, anything ephemeral, I finally said that word correctly. Anything ephemeral has value because it's not meant to last. So it's like meant to be appreciated in the moment, which nobody knows how to do anymore. So if scent is the one thing that reminds us to be present and appreciate the moment, then let it. And like, we should celebrate that. Everybody... Get your ass to Olfactory Art Keller if you're in New York City.
Yeah, come with us.
Come with us. Ooh, that would be cool to do, like, speaking of collabs.
Yeah, right.
A smell you later exhibition. Maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, until then,
follow us on Instagram. We're at smileylater.mp3. Find our merch and our general information at smileylater.live. I'm at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will
smell you later.